passage this morning will be Matthew 13, verses 36 through 43. Then he left the crowd and went into the house. His disciples came to him and said, "Explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field." He answered, "The one who sowed the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed stands for the people of the kingdom. The weeds are the people of the evil one, and the enemy who sows them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the harvesters are angels. As the weeds are pulled up and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will weed out of his kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. They will throw them into the blazing furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Whoever has ears, let them hear."
It all starts with an ask. Jesus gets out of the boat and heads back to the house. As he walks through the crowd, don't you wonder what that was like? I doubt that they just sort of parted ways, you know. Jesus walked through the crowd. Probably people were touching him. He was probably touching them, maybe healing some of them as he went along, embracing some of them, because Jesus had great compassion on the crowd. So it would have been an amazing thing to see Jesus, as they say, work the crowd as he went back to the house. Once inside the house, his disciples come and ask him to explain the parable of the weeds. Notice Jesus does not reprimand his disciples for not understanding the parable and needing an explanation. In fact, Jesus seems pleased that they ask. Jesus immediately responds to their question. Do you feel that you're imposing on Jesus sometimes if you bring to him your questions, your concerns, your fears, your requests? Have you ever thought about what makes Jesus happy? Dane Ortlund talks about that question in his book, Gentle and Lowly. And as I was preparing for my sermon and reading that book at the same time, I came across this quote in the book by a Puritan pastor, Thomas Godwin, who says this: "Christ's own joy, comfort, happiness, and glory are increased and enlarged by his showing grace and mercy in his pardoning, relieving, and comforting his members here on earth." By his members, he's talking about the members of his body. Remember in Colossians we read, Jesus is the head over the church. He's the head of the church. And we are the members of his body. And it increases Christ's joy and comfort and happiness and glory to show us grace and mercy in our times of need. We increase Christ's happiness when we come to him for his guidance, his counsel, his healing, and his forgiveness, and other things. The motivating incident for Jesus' explanation is Jesus' disciples coming to him with a specific request. Explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field. Matthew seems to imply that Jesus had not intended to explain this parable. But Jesus' immediate and poignant response to his disciples' specific request hints at his delight in their asking. So what instructions, comfort, and healing are we missing from Jesus because we do not ask? James wrote, "You do not have because you do not ask God." Jesus wants us to come to him and to ask him for what we need. Earlier in Matthew's gospel, Jesus spoke these words: "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you." Right now, what should we ask Jesus? What should you ask him? What should we ask him as a church family? Let's reflect on that a minute. Would you just close your eyes for a minute and settle in? Oh, Holy Spirit, as we sit in a little bit of silence now, speak to our hearts. Help us to know right now what we should ask of you. As you sit in the presence of God, what explanation do you need? What is it that you would like God to explain to you? What guidance do you seek? What is it that you need to know about the path you should take or the choice you should make? What comfort do you crave? What comfort do you crave that only God can supply? What healing, forgiveness, or restoration is lacking in your life? With whatever is stirring in your heart, allow that to sort of bloom in your heart and your mind. And just simply ask Jesus for what you need. Amen. I hope this will be the beginning of an ongoing conversation between Jesus and you, Jesus and us, about what he has moved in our hearts and minds this morning. Just needs to be an ongoing conversation, not a one and done, but a continual conversation until we see progress. In his response to his disciples' ask, Jesus gets to the point. Jesus explains that he, the Son of Man, is the sower who sows the good seed in his field. The good seeds are persons who hear the message of the kingdom and by faith given to them by God come to believe in Jesus so that they become Jesus' faithful and fruitful disciples throughout the world. The devil is the enemy who comes to plant his seed, his evil children, throughout the world, even among Jesus' children in the church. The devil's children cause evil. They choke out the spiritual life of would-be believers. Remember the parable of the soils? And they do damage to true believers and to true churches. They can't help it because they are children of their father, the devil, and that's what he does. Concerning this reality, John Calvin wrote, "In my opinion, the design of the parable is simply this. So long as the pilgrimage of the church in this world continues, bad men and hypocrites will mingle in it with those who are good and upright. That the children of God, and catch this, that the children of God may be armed with patience. And in the midst of offenses which are fitted to disturb them, may preserve unbroken steadfastness of faith." In other words, there will always be evil in the world, and there's going to be evil in the church too. But in all of that, God intends that His true children will develop patience in the midst of these things that are, in fact, intended to disturb them, intended to cause them to stumble. In fact, in the Greek, the word where the passage says the angels will take out all that causes evil, the word there is stumble. All that causes stumbling. All that causes people to fall. See, Satan would love to see you fall. He would love to see me fall. He would love to see our church family fall. That's his design. But God says, no, my true children will be armed with patience in the midst of everything, Satan, you throw at them. And what you will see at the end of the day is that I will preserve an unbroken steadfastness of faith in them. The sower's servants wonder why their master doesn't eliminate the weeds. And the sower tells them that to do so might cause damage to his children. He lets them know that the time is coming when he will send his harvesters, the angels, to gather up the weeds and bring them to the fate they deserve, burning, weeping, and gnashing of teeth. The angels will gather up the righteous and bring them into God's eternal security, where they will shine like the sun. Jesus has a point to make. In the end, justice comes for the wicked and the righteous. This present age ends in punishing flames for the wicked and in brilliant glory for Jesus' followers. J.C. Ryle, the great Anglican bishop of the 19th century, underscores the seriousness of Jesus' words when he wrote this. There is something peculiarly solemn in this part of the parable. The meaning of it admits no mistake. Our Lord Himself explains it in words of singular clearness, as if He would impress it deeply on our minds. Let the ungodly man tremble when he reads this parable. Let him see in it its fearful language his own certain doom, unless he repents and is converted. Brothers and sisters, this raises the question, do we have concern for persons heading for the blazing furnace where weeping and gnashing of teeth is their eternal life? In the end, weeds will burn. Wheat is secure eternally. Do we want to see some weeds transformed into wheat? Evangelization is offensive to hardcore weeds who are determined to go to the fate that awaits them. However, the spoken word of the gospel is the word of life to weeds predestined to become wheat. The message of the kingdom is the seed that will take root and grow and make them fruitful 30, 60, 100 fold in their life in Christ. We don't have to be experts in evangelization. Training, while sometimes helpful, is not necessary. Caring about the eternal souls of our neighbors naturally opens ways to tell people the good news that Jesus died for their sins. Some will come to Jesus and find rest for their souls. Rawl continues his commentary with these words: let the believer in Christ take comfort when he reads this parable. Let him see that there is happiness and safety prepared for him in the great and dreadful day of the Lord. The voice of the archangel and the trump of God will proclaim no terror for him. They will summon him to join what he has long desired to see, a perfect church and a perfect communion of saints. Jesus ends his explanation with the now familiar phrase, "Whoever has ears, let them hear." Jesus knows that those who do, by faith, have the spiritual ears to hear, will believe and live among the righteous. Those without spiritual ears are the weeds, and their destruction is sure. What vision does Jesus offer us for a united life with God through this parable? Jesus promises justice, vindication, and glory for those who patiently remain loyal to Him in the end. are to the end. Justice, vindication, and glory. That's our future when we remain loyal to Him to the end. And that's the important part. To the end. What intention does Jesus require we apply by faith to experience this promise of justice, vindication, and glory? We must set our intent to be faithful to Jesus to the end in our mind, our will, our emotions, and with our body. This is, gets back to what I was talking about earlier in the great writers of the spiritual life understand. This is what they're talking about when they talk about abandonment. Abandonment. Paul expresses it like this: it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. I am a slave of Christ. And so we set our intent to be faithful to Jesus to the end in our total selves, our mind, our will, our emotions, our body. All are surrendered and abandoned to Christ to be used as He wills. And we're happy with that. You see, that's the thing. As we grow deeper and deeper in the Lord, that becomes our earnest desire. That becomes our happiness. Becomes our energy. So, what spiritual practices can we apply to succeed in our intention to be faithful to Jesus to the end? Two things. Asking in faith is the first. But asking about some specific things, specifically this: what are the stumbling blocks that threaten your faithfulness to Jesus? What are the stumbling blocks that threaten to keep you from being faithful to the end? Allow yourself to name them specifically. And then talk to Jesus and ask Him for what you need. Ask Him to help you, to work in you and to work through you and to work around you so that you will not stumble over these things, so that you will not fall. And keep asking until you see the transformation. It's not just an ask for today, but it's that persistent asking, seeking, knocking over time. And the door will be opened. The second is worship in hope. Praise and thank God for His glorious future that awaits you. You see, our worship of Him in anticipation of the glory that waits for us is a confirmation that we really do believe. If the thought of our glorious future raises no stirring of thanksgiving and joy and worship in our hearts, it's likely because we're having a difficulty believing that that future is really true. And if that's the case, then that's one of the things that could be a stumbling block for us that we need to talk to Jesus about and ask Him to work in our life to remove that stumbling block so that we can worship Him in genuine, sincere hope for the future that He has promised us. And again, it can never be a one and done. It's an unceasing pressing in on that thanksgiving and joy for what is coming to us through the promises of Christ Jesus our Lord. Jesus promises us this: in the end, justice comes for the wicked and the righteous. In the meantime, the devil intends to trip up the faithful by sowing evil everywhere. Justice, vindication, and glory are the future for the followers of Jesus who patiently remain loyal to Him to the end. Therefore, we set our intention to follow Jesus faithfully until we meet Him face to face, when our life ends or when He comes in glory. We cultivate faithfulness by noticing what can cause us to stumble. We ask Jesus to help us so that we will not fall, anticipating the glory that will be ours. We make it our delightful habit to worship Him with joyful thanksgiving and praise. Let us pray together. Father, we thank You for this parable of the weeds that our Lord Jesus has so clearly explained to us. And now, Lord, we ask that You take this teaching and apply it into our hearts, that we may love You with all our heart and our soul and our mind and our strength. Lord, help us to be open to Your Holy Spirit's work in our life. Show us the things that would cause us to stumble. And then by Your grace and mercy, Lord, work in us in such a fashion to remove those things, to keep us from stumbling, to keep us from falling. And Lord, build within us a deep, deep drawing to worship, to adore You, to praise You, to glorify You for the glory that You have promised us. That is a sure bet. It is going to happen. Lord, may our lives be far more future oriented than they are, for our certain joy is there. All these things we ask in the name of Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen.